The following podcast may contain spoilers.
Greetings, Binge Lords. This is Jason from Binge Movies, and this is The Vault. Season is come and gone. Isn't that incredible? Another season has come and gone. It's pretty incredible. You know, we try to do four seasons a year. We start off with between 25 and 30 films. I pair myself up with some film critics, movie reviewers, personalities, podcasters, writers, YouTubers, whoever I can, who I think can contribute to the conversation as we do the bidding of the Dark Movie Overlords. You know, we will our way down through a season, and then we pit two film critics against each other to battle it out in last movie standing. We're going to get to the results of that and discover what our next entry into the vault is with much controversy. There's a lot of tape to break down, so we're going to have a tale of the tape. I'm going to get to that as we get to the results. I've been promising all season that I'll be doing some thank yous to members of the Binge Elite.
Two, three,
and... some thank yous to our Binge Movies members.
There you have it!
We've talked about the membership this past season. I'm going to break that down. I offered up a Q&A on Twitter for our Binge Lords and listeners, and I got a couple of questions I want to address. I'm going to give you a Army of the Dead review. It's really an instant reaction, but I'm going to give you my review of Army of the Dead, spoiler-free, then the results. Then we're going to talk about what's coming up for season 5.3, the third of four seasons for 2021. It's hard to believe we're already halfway through the year. And going to address something, a letter, I don't know, from the past, from the future, I don't know. I can't get into it now because they're listening. Let's start off with thank yous. I want to thank the Binge Elite. Now, I can't cover everybody. I can't get into everybody who maybe had shared something on Binge Movies. I can't. In general, I want to say, you know, we put new episodes out. Our primary social media presence is on Twitter, at Binge Movies. If you're not following us, give us a follow. You can find out what's going on in the shop here in sunny tropical Akron, Ohio. You can find out what's coming up on the episodes. We do a staff recommendation, a staff pick of the week. We do all kind of stuff on there. So I think it's worth a follow. If you're on Twitter, give us a follow. And also, that enables you to vote on polls for Last Movie Standing. So you can vote for who you think had the better argument or what you think the better film is. And you can only do that. The exclusive place to do it is on Twitter. So if you're not following us at Binge Movies, you're missing out. It's part of the experience of the show if you're an avid listener, which I know some of you are all around the world. But we've had a pretty robust response this past season of people retweeting the show. And I want to give a shout out to those people. I want to give a shout out in particular to some of our Binge Movies members. We're talking about memberships. And I'm going to name those people by name. So first of all, some of the Binge Elite, people who've sort of consistently shared the show. And again, if you're out there and you're like, man, I shared the show like six times, I didn't get a shout out. I'm not trying to give you a slight. I appreciate everybody who shared the show this season, be it one time, be it 20 times. I appreciate anybody who has left comments or left us a review on Apple Podcast. It makes all the difference in the world. And it's not just like a trite little thing that I'm saying. It's the truth. It's how I genuinely feel. Because we are basically, Binge Movies is basically that weird video store, quite literally, but the weird video store of the internet, right? That's what we are. We're the weird video store of the internet. You've got 50,000 streaming services. You're subscribed to like 10 of them. The other 49,000 and so forth. Those are somebody else's logins that you've got access to, right? It's your mom and dad's cable. I get it. It's your brother-in-law's Netflix. I get it. It's your ex-girlfriend's Spotify. I get it. You got to Venmo her the money. I get it. I get it. It's your baby mama's or baby daddy's Tubi account. It's on their email. But the point is, you're sitting there at home and you're scrolling night after night after night going, what the hell do I watch? What's worthy of my time? And then back in the days of the mom and pop video store, you know what you could do? You got to walk in and you'd have a weirdo behind the counter. And that weirdo would go, hey, Joe, hey, Jane, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? We just got in a copy of Body Melt. I know you're into body horror. You just rented Mrs. Doubtfire. Do you want to watch Videodrome next? If you're a fan of Jurassic Park, have you tried Carnosaur? Right? Like, that was your experience. And some of you are too young to remember that. That's how you discovered movies. It was either somebody's older brother or older cousin or your older brother or your older sister or your mom or your dad, or it was the weirdo at the video store. Well, I am your weirdo. And this is your video store. And you've got limited time and you got too many options and you need somebody to help you go, hey, this is worth your fucking time. And that's what we're trying to do here. And it's not just my opinion. It's also the opinion of guests. And sometimes we vary dramatically in what we think is worthy of your time. And so you can listen to two different people who are movie obsessives, some of whom make money writing and talking about movies, and some of whom lose money writing and talking about movies, namely me. And you can then go, okay, this sounds interesting. Here's an episode. We're covering five films. They're, you know, Binge Movies is covering five films. I only know two of them. I haven't even heard of the other three. Right? Good movies, bad movies. And I get asked that all the time, you know, what kind of movie podcast are you? And I go, well, are you a bad movie podcast? No. Do we talk about bad movies? Yeah. Do we talk about movies that are so bad they're good? Yeah. Do we talk about good movies? Yeah. Do we talk about classics? Yeah. Do we talk about horror? Yeah. So the show's Binge Movies. We talk about all movies and we're providing a service. It's all about customers. It's all about customer service. You guys, if you're a listener, you're a customer. If you're a Binge Movies member, you're a customer. We're trying to provide episodes and content that you would find interesting, entertaining, informative, deeply ridiculous, and deeply analytical all at the same time. If you guys don't share the show by word of mouth, especially with the way things work now, there is no show. There is no Binge Movies. So the fact that so many of our binge lords this season have contributed and contributed greatly to growing the show and getting more people to listen. And the reoccurring theme of 2021 is someone who didn't even know we existed, finding the show. And some of our episodes, as you know, are 3 hours long and about Christian movies. We talked about Christian movies longer than we did the Rocky franchise. We talked about five evangelical end times movies.
Hey, Scotty. Jesus, man.
An hour longer than we talked about eight Rocky movies. This is amazing, right? Either the common theme is somebody told me about the show. I saw it online. A friend told me about it. Whoever. I've been binging your episodes, which is insane. Right? That's because if it was like a bunch of 45-minute episodes and someone's like, I listened to five of your episodes in a row, I'd be like, oh, well, that makes sense because they're only 45 minutes. They're 3 hours long. You're spending 15 hours listening to us talk about movies. So that's incredible. But that doesn't happen without the Binge Elite. That doesn't happen without Binge Lords like you sharing the show. It doesn't happen without Binge Movies members. This doesn't happen. So without further ado, I want to give a thank you to a couple of special people. Let's start with our Binge Elite, people who have consistently shared the show. First of all, it's Dan, a.k.a. at be the underscore the solution on Twitter. This guy is all over the place for a lot of podcasts, but he is a consistent sharer of the show. He's one of those inaugural members of the Binge Elite. It's not just him, but it's also people like Callie Mister, Matt Callie. It's also people like Kevin Brackett, who's a fellow podcaster, but takes his personal account and shares our show very frequently and engages in some of the content. He's been a guest in the past, but he shares a show every week. Every week, Kevin is one of the first people to share the show. You've got Ryan L. Terry, who's been a guest on the show, who's a producer creator of a podcast himself, AKA Professor Horror. You've got, if I mess up your name, I'm so sorry. We got Sleeky Sleuther, who's always like, if it's not him, if it's not Kevin, I don't know who it is, but it's usually one of those two guys at the first folks to constantly, retweet the show and do as much as they can to support it. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Chris Williams. Chris Williams, I think it's at Chris Williams 84. This guy, I got to put a spotlight on this guy. Chris, if you're listening, which I'm pretty sure you are, hope you are, hope you're doing well, my friend. Chris, you go above and beyond every single week to try to support Binge Movies, and I greatly appreciate it. You're not just active in sharing the show, you're active and constructive in the conversation, which I freaking love. I don't always have time to respond to everything, but I see all of your responses whenever the algorithm decides I can. And bear with us if you follow us on Twitter. Sometimes I see the follower, sometimes I don't. The number goes up, but it doesn't give me a notification. And if I look in like my notifications, it won't tell me who followed me. It's bizarre. So I'm not big time in you. I just can't find you. So bear with me. But every time I see a notification that is somebody commenting, I have to go, out of my way to see the comment because I want to see what people are saying. And Chris is always constructive to the conversation. He's always got good points to add. He's not just taking up space. So Chris, you get a little bit of spotlight here of the Binge Elite, man. You're one of the you and Dan are some of the foundational members of that Binge Elite. You know, you're the Hall and Nash of the Binge Elite. I'm sure you'll get that reference. So I'm so appreciative of that. There's a lot of great podcasts too that share the show. Of course, my good friend Paul from The Countdown shares the show as consistently as he can with his crazy hectic life. Cinema Recall has been a frequent share. Crooked Table, Robert Yanez Jr. He shares the show, goes out of his way to do it. The Cinema Guys, at the Cinema Guys, they share the show very, very frequently. There's so many more people. Collateral Cinema is a big time share of the show. Brian Scuttle from Sonic Cinema, he shares the show very frequently. Someone who's you're going to be hearing in the not too distant future, who's been kind of coming on and listening to the show, engaging, offering some really good contributions, and is a contrarian of sorts, but in an entertaining way, is D.W. Lundberg, right? You're going to be hearing from him soon. He's over at Nostalgia Cast, and so he's been sharing the show a lot. So those are just a few of the members of the Binge Elite. Like I said, if I didn't get to you, I deeply apologize, but I can't get to everybody. There's just been so many people who've shared, and I love for that number to continue to grow. So thank you to that. Now, we have the Binge Movies membership. For $3.99 a month, you get a personalized Binge Movies video membership card, right? Real deal video membership card. That entitles you to one feature presentation review of your choice. We'll send you some trading cards, a Binge Movie sticker, and there's going to be more benefits down the road for existing and for new members, right? So if you get in now, and there's going to be some more exclusive stuff. I'm working on it. I don't want to announce it until it actually happens, because I hate to announce something and then it doesn't happen. So just, there's going to be some exclusive stuff that's only for people who are part of the membership club, of the Binge Movies membership. All of that goes to is basically to when a microphone dies, which you'll hear on some episodes if you haven't already, or when a computer dies, which you'll hear on some episodes, or a board dies, it helps to cover some of the cost of that. That's all it does. It's $3.99 a month. And I'm always trying to think of different things it could exclusively do for our members. We have over a dozen members right now, which is pretty great because we just started doing this. And so I could thank every one of them, but I want to give each one their turn. And this time, straight from Canada, Dan, I want to thank you. I want to put a spotlight, Binge Movies membership spotlight on you, my man. You're not only a member of a Binge Elite, you stepped it up, man. You went to the next level, and you've become a monthly supporter of Binge Movies. And it took shit forever to get to you, but eventually did. And I hope to get you some more stuff and increase your membership benefits as we go along. So just hold tight. Hold tight, Dan. Hold tight. So everybody give Dan a follow on Twitter, B_the_solution. want to give you a thank you from the bottom of my heart, man. It means a lot to me. Couldn't do the show without folks like you. Really couldn't. So I think I've beat that dead horse in. Let's go to a, speaking of binge lords, let's go to a Q&A. I said, hey, you got questions? You got comments for me? Let me know. So I got one.
Let's fucking go!
Of all the binges you've done, what is the most surprising result? Or what movie or what binge surprised you the most? I would say the 90s in general. But I'm going to save that because in season 5.3, our very next season, we're finishing the 1990s. We're going to do the top 10 highest grossing films of 1999. And we're going to finish that in a two-part episode, which will include things like The Matrix, The Phantom Menace, and more. So I'd say the 90s in general, but more specifically Jim Carrey. I was the target age for Jim Carrey. I was as big of a fan of Jim Carrey as you could possibly be. I watched In Living Color. We were an In Living Color versus an SNL house. We were an In Living Color and Kids in the Hall house. But I was a big fan of like Fire Marshal Bill. I knew some of the comedy wasn't going to hold up, but I thought nostalgia was going to blind me a little bit. I knew I didn't like Batman Forever. I've already covered that in the show way, way back when. So I knew that movie was going to be shit. I knew I didn't like him in that. But I thought I would like Jim Carrey in general. Now, we haven't covered The Truman Show, and we did cover Liar Liar, and that was the one movie that was like, okay, this there's something more to this. Every other Jim Carrey movie, I hated. I hated the movie, and of all the things in the movies, I hated him.
Get fucked.
This is my instant reaction to Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
You don't know what it's like in there. Not anymore. They're not what you think they are.
The Alphas.
They're smarter. They're faster. They're organized. Straight out of your nightmares.
Have you seen Aliens? You know, if you would have told me that Zack Snyder is going to make a zombie heist movie in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, I would say that's that guy's wheelhouse. That is where his style and his verve and his directorial flair works really well in it. It's a dumb concept that could be really, really fun. We're going to need a ragtag cast of characters in a post-apocalyptic wasteland to perform pretty much the ultimate heist, which is, can you go into the end of the world and pull out, $1 billion or $200 million, whatever it is. That's the sort of thing that I would enjoy. I like heist movies. I like Men on a Mission movies. I like ragtag team movies, the peaks of which are Seven Samurai, Magnificent Seven. But you also get like sci-fi horror versions of it, like Aliens. You can also get Tremors to some extent. It's kind of like that, right? That's more like two guys, really, really three with the geologist. But, you know, it's I like ensemble movies where people have to face impossible odds. So that plus action plus zombie schlock plus a heist movie plus a post-apocalyptic movie with a zombie tiger from Siegfried and Roy. And really the marketing, this movie came out of nowhere. Netflix drops a trailer. It's going to be available on Netflix this upcoming Friday. This episode drops Tuesday. Okay, great. This is going to be not good, but it's going to be fun. You're going to put a zombie on a horse and put a weird little helmet on him and have him lead an army of alpha zombies in Las Vegas. Fantastic. And Dave Bautista is going to have to go in there with fucking machine guns and, you know, steal money or whatever. Great. Absolutely great. The movie is so boring. It doesn't end. It goes on and on forever and ever. The first hour is spent trying to set up these characters. And on the one hand, it wants you to really care about the characters. So when we start knocking them off, you feel bad for them. So it's like in a weird way trying to be a real movie. But then when it tries to lean into the more comedic elements of something you would see, say like in a James Gunn film or a Robert Rodriguez film or a Edgar Wright film or anything like that, even some of the other Zack Snyder movies, when it tries to lean into a little bit of the comedy, it just isn't funny. I sat through 2.5 hours of a zombie apocalypse movie in a near silent movie theater. There was three reactions the entire time I was in that theater. One of them was for the Marvel Phase 4 trailer, which I thought was just like an internet thing, but apparently they're running it in theaters. At least they did mine. But that got like a, ooh, oh, like a response from a, you know, 45-year-old guy in a Captain America shirt. But still, it got a response. So here's what I'm saying. If an audience of people are going to a Zack Snyder zombie movie at 10 o'clock on a Friday night for a movie that's made by Netflix, it's going to be available to them on Netflix as part of their subscription. I don't want to say for free, but as part of their subscription, just a week later, those are people who want to be there, or those are people who have to be there to review the movie. There is no in between. There wasn't just like somebody casually was like, I want to see this zombie movie. I highly, highly doubt it. If somebody's there, that's the target audience. If your target audience isn't responding to the material you're putting on the screen, now I know you're supposed to judge the movie and not the audience, but to me, there's a connection there. There's a connection there. So ultimately, you know, this is a spoiler-free review. There's two or three set pieces that I think are relatively effectively done and kind of fun. And there's a couple of moments that are sort of fun. But a movie with a zombie tiger that used to belong to Siegfried and Roy ought to be a lot goofier and a lot sillier and a lot more fun than this movie is. The trailer wants you to think that this is a movie that's in on the joke. And it's a movie that is kind of in on the joke, but it's a movie that also desperately wants to be serious, heavy drama. The action isn't necessarily remarkable. The zombie effects aren't particularly well done. There's some weird zombie plot stuff. And unfortunately, the movie seemingly exists to create a franchise of Army of the Dead movies. And I don't really care to see more of them. It is basically Aliens, to the point where you have a Vasquez equivalent down to the red bandana. At one point, when this is not a spoiler, but one of the characters literally says the line, you don't see them fucking each other over for a goddamn percentage. Or an equivalent of that. You don't see them fucking each other over for a share or something like that. And I'm like, oh no. Because I saw the one character, I'm like, okay, that's obviously a Vasquez homage. Okay, that's obviously a Gorman / Carter Burke homage. So I get that. Just imagine Aliens without any of the stakes or the tension or the pacing. And that's the problem with this movie. The movie has no pacing. It's not funny enough to be in on the joke. It's not action-packed enough to be exciting. It isn't schlocky enough or gory enough, for that matter, to be a spectacle. It's just sort of, it feels very passionless and heartless, which is the one thing I would never say about Zack Snyder, is he lacks passion. I disagree with his choices very frequently. But it's just a big disappointment. One of his best movies is Dawn of the Dead, if not his best movie. And I think the guy made probably the best opening 10, 20 minutes of any horror movie of the last century so far. And you would think some of that style would be here, and it pops up here and there, but very, very rarely. The opening credits are probably one of the most lackadaisical, unfunny, lazy homages, ripoffs of Zombieland, the opening credits of Zombieland I've ever seen. And Zombieland has done so much with so much more style. And again, if you're Zack Snyder, the one thing you're supposed to have is fucking style. And the movie also has a big, big problem in conclusion, which is I hate movies where the horrible things that happen are the direct result of the stupidity of characters. You know, like Jurassic Park works because those people didn't know what they were getting themselves into, and the stupidity of one person, the greed of one person, and an act of God put innocent people in harm's way. Aliens is people are sent in by heartless corporate executives into a situation that they think that they're qualified to face because they've faced similar things in the past and they just happen to be overwhelmed. It's bravado that brings them down, but not stupidity. Good movies don't make protagonists fucking incompetent, because if you're fucking incompetent and the tragedy you find yourself in is your own doing, why would I have sympathy for that? And this movie has that in spades. So I didn't hate it. I think the moments that work in it work fairly well. They're just few and far between, and so I give it a 6.5 out of 10. I think it's a skip for the theater. If I could advocate you watch any movie, if you haven't seen Those Who Wish Me Dead, if you want a schlock movie, if you like 90s thrillers that would have starred Harrison Ford and Meryl Streep back in the 90s, like River Wild or things like that, or Cliffhanger, if you like those sort of movies, watch if you have HBO Max, watch Those Who Wish Me Dead, if you haven't seen it already. That's your weekend choice. Army of the Dead, it's a Thursday evening movie when you have to be up early for work in the morning and you kind of only just kind of want something on the background. It's not horrible. It's not offensive. It's not egregiously bad, but it's not fun. That's the biggest disappointment of it.
Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
This is our 99th episode. Anyone that's in a podcast world knows that 100 episodes is a big deal. Now, we've had 100 episodes of content out there. We're going to be coming up on our 100th ranking episode, which means a lot to me because that encompasses a two-year hiatus, the loss of a co-host, and a lot of changes to the show. So to make it to 100 is pretty fantastic. We are going to have on our 100th episode from 80s All Over, the now defunct podcast, and Science Versus Fiction, film producer, film critic, Scott Weinberg. Scott and I are going to talk about, on episode 100, we're going to rank and eliminate all but one of movies we love. These are going to be the most requested movies of the 1980s. These are the movies that we've gotten more requests for than anything else. Movies that I love and that Scott loves. They're up on our list. Movies you love, if you're more than likely, you love at least one of the movies on this list, which includes RoboCop, Ghostbusters, The Princess Bride, The Breakfast Club, and Back to the Future. That's right. We're going to have to get rid of all but one. So it's a huge guest. My thank you to Scott for doing it, and a huge episode. We have been saving it for episode 100, and it's movies we love for a reason. I am passionate, or I love and have a very big place in my heart for all of those movies, as many film lovers do. They're arguably the best five films, best five, you know, popcorn movies, popular movies from maybe one of the best popular film decades of all time, the 1980s, and we're going to pin them against each other. And keep in mind, even if a movie makes it through that episode, you still got to get through the rest of the season, and we're going to have, you know, an all-time classic horror movie from the 80s. We're going to have some cult movies from the 80s. We're going to have some top-grossing movies of the 1990s, things like The Matrix. Season 5.3 is going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough every single week. So 5.3 is going to be really, really tough. And 5.4, I think, could arguably put it to shame. Speaking of the vault, it's time for the results of Last Movie Standing. This vote was decided by 2.1 votes.
Jesus!
Oh, my God. Let's just go to the tail of the tape. I scored the rounds pretty much equally, giving a slight advantage to Erica, because I think that David Rosen, and all due respect to my man, David Rosen, over at Piecing It Together Pod, I think he missed a couple of opportunities. One, Erica raised the point that Saving Private Ryan should have won an Academy Award, but didn't, and lost to Shakespeare in Love, which was one of the movies of the selection, which neither one of them chose. To me, as a previous competitor, I'm listening to that and I'm going, okay, if you're going to use the Oscars as a metric for success, of the two films that we're talking about, one of them has an Oscar, and it's called Rocky. Never brought it up. The fact that Rocky was one of the first usages of the Steadicam, never brought it up, which not just changed that movie, but changed movies. When you talk about a guy basing his career Going from utter obscurity to household name to, by the end of the next decade, the highest paid actor in film history. The argument isn't just what is the better movie from minute one to the final minute. You know, opening credits, end credits, what's the better movie? That's a big part of it. But an equal part of it is, what movie has had the biggest impact on film, on movies? I would make the argument that Saving Private Ryan, even if it's the best of its genre, which is arguable, it's arguable, right? It's arguable. It's not definitive. Even if it's the best World War II movie ever made, even if it's the best war movie ever made, it's in a way just another war movie. Whereas Rocky basically redefined, recreated the sports movie genre. It there were sports movies before it. It broke the mold and then created a new mold that everything else has been imitating since. Then you get into the technical specifications of how the movie was made, the Steadicam. Then you get into the creation of the modern montage, which, I mean, was there ever, like, from that point forward, the entire 80s were dominated by montages, including later Rocky movies, right? A later Rocky movie is 33% montage. We can make a joke about that, but what has had a bigger impact on the way films were made, on careers, on the way contracts were structured? If you're putting a vault together that is supposed to be representative of film history, how the hell do you not have Rocky in there? It's the only movie in film history, period, that it launched a one continuous storyline over 50 years of film. And Rocky Balboa, and David really clued into this, is the greatest film protagonist of all time. It's probably the greatest overachieving film of all time. It overachieved more than any movie in the history of movies versus another Steven Spielberg movie. Honestly, Saving Private Ryan took the lead very, very quickly. It was like 89% to 10% or something like that, you know, or 11%. And then Rocky started to come back. Rocky started to come back. Rocky started to come back. Rocky got into the lead. Rocky got in the lead. And within the last 2 hours, last hour and 45 minutes, two votes were cast for Saving Private Ryan. And that was the difference, which means, unfortunately, and this is the first time in the history of doing this, I do not agree with the decision. Rocky has been eliminated from cinematic history.
Fucking bullshit!
And Saving Private Ryan is the next entrant into the vault. And if you're listening to this, you're like, that's some fucking bullshit, because I've seen Twitter and Twitter thinks it's fucking bullshit. If you think it's fucking bullshit, and I've gotten other messages from people who are fucking pissed. If you're fucking pissed and you didn't vote, you lost by two votes. If two of you who've never voted were like, well, Rocky needs to win. If two of you voted, Rocky's in and Saving Private Ryan's in the shit can. But here we are. I think David admittedly prepared for Saving Private Ryan. I think he recovered very well from basically being fucked over. I mean, he winced visibly. He was like, oh shit, I'm fucked. So it's hard. You've got two film reviewers doing something they've never done before, debating movies against each other blindly. They don't even know what movie they're going to get because they don't know the coin flip. They don't know what the other person's going to pick. And you got to be able to do this stuff on the fly. And if you spend a lot of time having world-class arguments for one movie and one flip of the coin, you're screwed. So it's a tall order. It's a tough challenge. Everyone that we've ever had do this said it's fun and it's really hard. Anybody that shows up and does it, I'm deeply appreciative of. I think they both did an excellent job because I think it's a lot harder than it sounds, because when we say, hey, we've had Last Movie Standing, we've had First Cut, we've debated, we've argued, we've binged, we've gone through it, we've ranked, we leave the choice to you. It's not a gimmick. The choice is actually yours. The film critics can only do so much. So I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was a fun conversation. I thought it was a very impassioned conversation. And I'm very grateful for Erica and David Rosen for both doing it. I can't get into all the details, but the bottom line is I get this letter and then I see who the letter's from. And I think it's not possible. But it was. And I'm just going to read the letter to you.
Dear Jason, if you're reading this, then I'm dead. No doubt my death was made to look like some embarrassing accident, but it wasn't an accident. I discovered a deep, dark truth. The dark movie overlords are not just a cabal of corporate monsters. They're avatars for a much older presence, the Elder Ones. Our end times are only their second awakening. The only thing keeping them at bay is binge movies. There is so much more to this than you know. You have to keep binging. That's all I can tell you now. Just know that I will never forget you. Pat.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if this is really from Pat. I'm taking a risk even putting this out there. It's conspiratorial. It's paranoid. It's creepy. It's weird. I don't know what to make of it. It's not every day you get a letter from your dead friend. Okay? And it's been hard, you know, to do this without it. And then one day, you know, over a year later, to get a letter like this, it's just it's fucking crazy. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of this. I don't even know that I should be putting this out there. I've got a bunch of bonus content lined up for you, but a bunch of bonus features. So if you don't hear from me for a while, just know that the truth is out there. And I'm going to keep binging these movies because if Pat's right, if this is really from him and he's right, then the only thing standing between us and the old ones is binge movies.